Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter, and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 36 is just before this one. It's the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Peter's back, everyone. Hello, Peter.
Oh, hello, Justin.
And
Steve.
Steve's back. Steve's here. Last week, Steve wasn't comfortable because he had to talk and he had to try and make sense. And he's not comfortable in that arena. You know what I'm saying, Pete?
Yeah. I thought he did a great job.
In the talking sensible arena, he doesn't know where he stands. He's, you know, if you imagine a circus.
Had plenty to talk about Pete's new girlfriend.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I nearly forgot about that. Peter. Come on, reveal all. Turned out you went on holidays, went skiing with some people, and you turned up with this random lady who no one knew. And they, I said, who's this then? Peter's young beau? Who is it?
I don't know who you're talking about.
You turned up with a lady, didn't you?
I didn't turn up with a lady, no. I explained this to you. That was just part of the group.
You fibbing, Pete, because I've heard different from two people now.
Oh,
one of which you were on holiday with.
No, I'm going to explain.
I wouldn't believe them.
Peter's been single for about 27 years, and so it's very surprising now. We you know, it's well documented on the podcast that Steve is active in the dating game. He's always on these dirty apps that are coming out. You know, he's hunting down a female friend. He's a female. He's not too fussy as long as he's got breath and heartbeat. He's there as long as he's got a pulse. So yeah, he doesn't mind. But Peter's very cagey and is not actively on the search for another half. You know, the love of his life, his soulmate. But we discover all of a sudden Peter takes a lady on holidays with him skiing, eh? Oh, so reveal.
I don't know where you're getting your information from.
Well,
come on, just be honest with us. You're a friend here.
I don't. Yeah, right. I don't know. Well, I know who you're talking about, but that I explained to you that was a friend of a friend who was also on the holiday. So,
have you held hands and kissed?
No.
What? Both?
Either. Neither.
Okay.
Have you got no? Is it just? Is it strictly 100%? 100% platonic.
Yeah. Yes.
Why are you saying, there's a hesitation there, Peter.
I'm not even sure what you're talking about or where this has come from.
Well, hang on. I think we're being relatively clear here on what we're saying. You know, we're saying, do you have a female friend that's more than just a friend?
And I've been quite clear and saying no.
Well, you have no idea. You seem to suggest that she may not even exist, or you don't know what we're talking about. But do you understand of this female of which we talk? Do you understand that she exists and she's been in your company and people question?
I'm just worried I might get stung, you know, tabloid sting that you're setting me up here. So I'm not saying
Put it this way, Peter. You've not 100% convinced me that you are not involved with this lady.
No, I know, because I'm playing that just to wind you up a little bit and just to play along.
Is it the fact that if she heard this and you said you're not involved, she'd be upset?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Lovely. That'd be lovely if she was, but I don't think she would be.
Do you know what the answer is, don't you? Graphene.
Right, okay. Is it?
Or any question you ever have on anything, graphene is the answer.
Right. And that just throws the...
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to link in a seamless way and just knock some shares in a little bit, really, because, you know, we're getting nowhere with this. You're not revealing anything, Peter. And right. We can't... I mean, you know, Steve has spent his entire week researching, you know, you, trying to come up with pictures on Facebook. He does more research on your dating and your potential girlfriend than he ever has done any stock that he's ever invested in.
I know. He came up with, like, names and everything. I was like, wow, where's he getting all this information? That's good.
I know. Yes. So the reason why I say that, have you, Pete, are you aware of graphene, you two?
I am, yes. It's like going to be the world, or is the world's strongest material, isn't it?
Steve?
Isn't it the world's strongest material?
Well done, Steve. I love the research there on that.
Thank you.
Fair play. Okay, at last, Steve's in. Oh, hang on. Isn't that what you just said, Pete? Yeah. Do you know anything else? Don't say anything, Pete. Do you know anything else about graphene, Steve?
It comes from underground.
Does it?
Does it?
Well, graphene, right, was discovered...
I think it's man-made, is it?
Yeah, it's discovered in Manchester University, of all places, right? Okay. And this is off the top of my head now. It's an, it's an allotrope of carbon in the form of a two-dimensional atomic scale hexagonal lattice in which one atom forms each vertex. Completely off the top of my head. But essentially, right, it's very thin. It's very hard, 200 times the strength of steel. But it can be used in all kinds of things, from mobile phones, anything. It's phenomenal. And just check out the videos on this, right? It is a phenomenal substance. And people say it'll take over lots of other different substances, or it'll be added to substances in the next few years. And it's not just me saying this, or not just people who... I've known about graphene for a long time, but it's taken a while, like anything that's brand new, to take off. But, I mean, I've been looking around, and even looking at someone like, I think it was, who was it? Goldman Sachs. Massive. You know, massive bank, investment bank, investment house. You know, I looked at a video on them, and they say it's one of their plays for the next couple of years, and they say it really is, you know, mind-bending in the potential that it could have. Now, I made a little investment this week in a company involved in graphene, because it's the answer. Right. And there's a couple of companies listed, you know, around graphene on the side. But the company I invested, you've got to make sure you get the right one. Because only one company has the IP. Basically, in a collaboration, and the shareholders of Manchester University who discovered this. The two guys who discovered this were given a Nobel Prize in physics in 2010 for groundbreaking experiments regarding the two-dimensional material graphene. So they were given that. Now, it's Vesarion, VRS is the ticker, all right? Have IP of this. I mean, this Manchester University now have shares in Vesarion, and also Cambridge University, which also have a sort of commercial arm with print sort of induced graphene. They also have shares in VRS. Only about 20 million market cap, but I think the potential is huge here, absolutely huge. And they're starting to commercialise this, and they've got orders. They're one of the not huge, but one of the biggest orders ever for graphene. This year, it's about 100,000, but you know, that's for a commercial order for graphene is huge because no one else has ever done it. And so I'm thinking, get in here, do some research, get ahead of the curve before really the big guys come along and really see the potentials of graphene, because it's been touted, like I said, 2010 it was invented, and for a while it's been touted as the next big thing.
And graphene. So is it, when you say invented, it is man made or it's produced, but by some very clever. Chemical processing.
It's off the top of my head again. Scientists have theorized about graphene for years, right? But it's unintentionally been produced in small quantities for centuries through the use of pencils
and material applications.
You read my mind, Pete. And it was originally observed in electron microscopes in 1962. Right about then.
Yeah.
But only studied while supported on metal surfaces. And the material was later rediscovered, isolated, and characterized in 2004 by Andre Ghim, I think it was, and Konstantin Nolesov at the University of Manchester. And their research. So it's there, but they've adapted it in a way. And the global market for graphene has reached about 9 million in 2012, with most sales in the semiconductor, electronics, battery energy. So it's got a huge range of applications, massive range.
So explain to me, if it was invented in 2010, why 5 years later is it still not being picked up or kind of done anything? Surely the big boys would have kind of jumped in by now after 5 years.
Because
it's not to say it's invented, is it? It's rediscovered.
Yeah,
and
but they realised when they discovered, when they brought it together, I don't know what they did to change that, but they're only starting to realise, Steve, the potential. Not only that, when is it? Because it's a chemical, you know, it's what you can use it for. So they have to test. So when they first discovered that, of course, they didn't realise the potential of it. It's just, this is interesting.
Very stupid.
Yeah.
They're just sitting around going, this is the strongest material ever. And they're just sitting going, this could be quite good.
They didn't know that, did they? It wasn't something like you, Steve, saying, this is the strongest material ever, guys. Really shouted about it. The scientists, good about the word.
Be on the board.
Why didn't they just look up Wikipedia?
We got Steve exactly here. We got Steve, right? He's easily the stupidest guy on this podcast out of the three of us, calling two guys Nobel Prize winning in physics stupid.
Well, I'm just saying, if I was on the board, I would be getting this train rolling a lot quicker.
Yeah, I bet you would, yeah. If you applied your enthusiasm to searching out Pete's background in a dating, Steve, to this, I have no doubt you would market it like crazy. But what I'm saying is, Steve, from discovery and using it and knowing what to do with it, and then applying it and then realizing there's commercial potential here, it takes a long time because you've got all your kind of rights and IP and all this stuff. Then you've got to get people interested in industries. Now, industries built on certain, traditional sort of forms of building things, won't turn their head for a while because they're making good money in what they're doing. You've got to turn people's head. It's groundbreaking, it's really cutting edge. And so to raise people's awareness to it is hard. Not only that, to get it commercialized off the ground is very hard, Absolutely. It's like, when did the internet sort of start? It's almost like saying, why didn't people go crazy when the first day of the internet? Mm. Because it took years, 10 years before people came on. And then all of a sudden, phones were invented with internet on for 15 years later or something. So it's nuts. It takes a while, doesn't it? But once it does get traction, then it goes gangbusters, exponential, supersonic growth.
So if they said what's the use this could be used in?
Everything. In fact, they said the applications are too wide at the moment. It's almost like saying they've got to prioritise what's commercially the best. And it goes from batteries to dementia to cancer, everything. It can help. It's phenomenal. And I'll post a video, actually, with this blog post on thing. But the video is with a guy in Manchester, very good presenter as well. It's only about a couple of minutes long. And it's amazing. And I put it on, the Viserion's page at Vox Markets, VRS. There's two videos, one from Goldman Sachs, one below from the guy from Manchester University. And he was the presenter talking about it. But, it's essentially...
So, what you were saying about the IP, that was the thing that I was... That's kind of be critical to all of this, isn't it?
Like, yes.
You've got two companies that can both produce it or both are able to manufacture it, but only one has sort of the IP, is it?
What? Yes, well, no, like Neil, who's the CEO, wrote us a presentation. And
your first name
yeah,
terms
well,
now?
No, it's because I can't think of his surname.
Right.
Neil there, explains in a presentation, it's worth watching. Neil Ricketts, his name is, explains that there are companies that talk about graphene, but they're not producing graphene like he says. And they've got, basically all these universities giving them sort of hallmark of approval, saying this is proper graphene, not many can produce it. And they did a big graphene order recently, scaling up. And he said there's no companies that can do that kind of order yet for graphene in a commercial scale like they can do it. And he said with the quality of graphene that they have. So it's worth, looking into them. So, I just think it's one of these things that you invest in, put on the back burner, and forget about it. And then it could be, super mega in a couple of years' time.
So, which is the company with the IP?
It's called Viserion. So V-E-R-S-A-R-I-N-E-N. But the ticker is V-R-S. It's around about 20 million market cap, 16.5 pence. Recently did a placing of 15 pence, so it's not far off that. I'm saying gaining traction. Yeah, in fact, looking at Friday, they're up by 7%. But there'll be a bit of a pullback here sooner or later. Yeah. And but I'm very interested to get the guy. I want to get Neil on the podcast because it is phenomenal. There's so much information out there about graphene, but it's compelling. But even the big guys, are saying this is a it's one of the big tech things you should look at in the next couple of years. Yeah. It's going to happen. It's going to revolutionize lots of industries. And like I said, at the moment, it's almost like phenomenal. It was too good to be true, grabbing. It has too many applications that they have to say. That's what Neil said in his presentation. He said it's almost finding the ones now we have to prioritize because it can be applied to so many different things. It's like if you for a plastic bottle, for example, like a plastic water bottle. This is the example he gave. So if you insert 0.5% of graphene into that plastic, it makes that bottle 50 times stronger than it would be normally. And so it's expandable. It's 200 times the strength of steel, but you can bend it, you can stretch it. Yeah. And the width of a hair, if you get it as a line of graphene, like a hair follicle, that width, you could dangle like a car, something ridiculous. I think it was bigger than a car.
Are you making this up now?
No, I forget the vehicle, but it was bigger than a car.
Toy car.
No, it's something like a tank. You could dangle a tank.
Hang on, we've gone from a toy car to a tank.
No, it wasn't a toy car. No, it was like a car or a tank. What was it?
Right.
It was on the video anyway, but you could basically hold, it's either a helicopter, a tank, or a car. You could basically, with a strand of graphene, right, as thin as a hair follicle, would support, let's say, tonnage. We're talking tons. Tons. That is the potential of graphene, you know?
I don't believe that. Okay. I see that.
I'm finding that hard.
Well, Steve,
believe.
This has come from Manchester University and the University of Cambridge. You question them on it, yeah? Take it up with them.
Well, it hasn't really come from them. It's coming from you with a vague recollection of something you heard about something can hang from a strand of hair.
But I've been reading so much.
I can tell you're excited, so that's good.
I've been reading so much about it that I've forgotten most of the stats. But I mean, all I'm saying is, if you have any issues, graphene is the answer. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, we've come around to that. So if you have any issues with your missus, Pete, or potential chatting up with the missus, just talk about graphene for a little bit, and she'll be well impressed. So, by the way, have you heard about graphene? Just take it out for a quick drink. Hey, when's the lull in conversation to say, you checked out graphene recently? Right. It's quite a phenomenal, phenomenal substance.
While you've been talking, I have added Vesarion VRS to my Vox Markets watch list. So there we are. Steve, have you done that? Or are you just looking at my holiday photos?
Yeah, Steve's still searching. VRS, add it to your watch list. Do some research, guys. Get a good entry. If you've done your research, I'm not talking about your dating, Peter. Right. If you've done your research and you're happy, and let's be honest, it's a very risky play because an AIM stock. In fact, the company there, they've got several arms to the company, so they've got revenue. They're not a company with no revenue. I mean, they've done several acquisitions. I think revenue last year was 1.6, but they've got a new acquisition which turned over 4 million. So they're not revenue less, you know, but part of they are prioritizing graphene, you know. So,
They got some good investors, people buying in, looking at
Look at Steve there. The investor share. And this, let me say, the investor share will register.
They're plowing some money in, aren't they?
Yeah, where did you get that from, Steve?
Harry and Larry.
Okay. So what I'm saying is the shareholder information. Let me look at this. I'll tell you now. So Neil himself has 12.6% of the company. That's a lot, you know, from a CEO, and he's big behind it. Now you've got Henderson, 21%. Mighton Asset Management, which is a small cap fund manager, you know, they're always an early to these kind of stocks. They got 10%. You know, you've got City Financial, 4.5% over that. Hargreaves Lansdown, 5%. So. It's good, you know, it's well held, it's worth looking at, it's worth checking out. So I'm saying, never underestimate the potential of graphene, guys.
No, right, okay. And that is the answer.
Yeah. Talking about CEOs that hold big stakes in companies, and not the meat, of course, I mean shareholding. I talked to Andrew Knott of Savannah Petroleum on the podcast, and they've been quite quiet, but there's coming the business end here, and they're doing a 3-well drill campaign. He has 8.8%, and it's a big chunk, and I quite like him, you know, and pre-chat and post-chat of the podcast that I did with him this week. I come across a really nice guy, because what happens is you get, when I introduce people on the podcast, they almost go into formal mode of presentations. Then afterwards, they relax a bit and chat. They don't reveal anything that's inside or anything, you know, but I just get a feel for them. He's a nice guy, you know. And he was just genuinely chatting there. He said, yeah, you know, hopefully it's all going well. And We're getting a bit of news out there. It's a very exciting year. But he's a lot more relaxed. And I think he's really into this project and he's been with it for years. And I can see something happening. And to look at the resource base that Savannah Petroleum have and the chance of success, quite high for, you know, exploration drilling or drilling for oil. So I think it looks good. You hold a bit of SAVP, don't you, Peter?
I do, yes. I dip my toe into it.
No.
What are you holding at the moment? Name a couple of stocks.
Microphone.
Are you holding a microphone?
Yeah.
Are you holding it? Are you? Okay.
Mm. So I like to hold it.
Yeah. What are you looking at the moment then, Steve? Take us through your PF there.
Andalas, Asia, yes. Met.
Yes.
Vehicle Energy.
Yes.
Horizonte Minerals.
Yes. Well, they had final results out. Looking strong, I got to say. 9.3 million cash at the end of the year. They can be cash flow positive, even at today's nickel prices. But if it goes up to what's predicted, then they're going to be earning serious cash. Again, another strong shareholder register there. You know? That's a good. PVR, good news out, wasn't it? They're farming. They've got a farm from Khan Energy, which is very good. And they've had another big investor come on board. Who was that? And again, a massive resource base, you know, huge, and it's you know, it's worth having a toe in there. I've got a toe in there, and you have. But who was it? Someone bought some more stock at Goldman Sachs. That's it, big company. I just bought 3% of the company this week. So that's always a good sign, isn't it? Goldman Sachs.
No, who did they buy?
PVR.
PVR, right? Yeah.
Yes, that's always a good sign. And I think there's... someone hinted that there was rumours about there may be another news on the farming of Barry Row, which is one of their big assets. So that's good. But, yeah, so that's going well there. Any thoughts on any stocks this week, guys, you've had so far?
The one that... only we do talk about it quite a bit, so, but it's Talao or Talu. And, you know, it's come down again, hasn't it? It had the initial kind of... burst the other week where there was some good news out, and then it just seems to be ebbing and flowing all the time, which perhaps is a good thing because you opportunities to buy, but there's no particular reason for it. I just noticed that it was coming back, which is good if you want to buy.
There's been rumours of placing there all the time, you know, and it does hit the stock a lot, and I think to a certain extent, you know, if these rumours keep genuinely attacking the stock, the company's probably worth doing one. Just do a placing. Just get out of the way, you know? And I think because it happened with Asia Met a while back, and, you know, people kept talking about placing all the time, placing, and it wouldn't get above 3 pence any time a rise came back. And it's almost like you've got to do it, you know, do one, get it out of the way, and it'll move on. You know, you'll have a bit of churn because obviously some people, short, dirty traders, will take advantage of getting the placing, you know, whatever it is, and they'll sell straight away for 10% or 5%, well, you know, ridiculous profit margin, negligible. And they dirty trade that. And so you have a bit of churn there, a bit of choppiness. But essentially, once they've got that, you know, the cash there as a sort of buffer to develop their results, which is amazing. It's an amazing story there, isn't it? Amazing, you know, yeah. Botswana there, you know, you couldn't get a better, all the dynamics of that coming together so well. You know, a country there that's economically doing well, you know, democratic, but they've got an energy shortage. But they have the geology that supports clean technology, you know, clean sort of fuel, CBM. Mm. So in steps, pioneers from CBM in Australia take on board. They've now signed up with IPC. This company is their job to build, you know, power plants. They've done a sort of a JV with these guys. So that's good. It's going all well. What's the problem? I don't see the issues here. They had cash, they had cash at the end of the year, but you've got this constant rumour of placing going on, downward pressure on the share price. So, you know, it's almost like, just do it. Get it out of the way, and it'll take off, you know, because it's worth, you know, at the moment, I think Talao, underrated, you know, or undervalued compared to where... Of course, there's still some risks out there, but I mean, I think everything's falling into place. They've got initial reserves there. They've got independent, you know, assessment there from the government. Request for proposal. Everything's in line.
And they've got some big shareholders as well, haven't they? They've got some.
Oh yes, yes. Yeah. They've got Big Trev.
And, Big Trev. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Mikey. Big Mikey
and,
G.
And Bulky Shirl. She's a big shareholder. You don't get much bigger than her. She's bouncing. Yeah. Scares all the men bouncers. But Shield, a couple of bit of stock there.
Beefy, he's in there, and he
I've added another punt on My Square. I'm playing the old convertible loan note. I believe My Square, you know, is a social media site in Myanmar based, you know, ex Burma. Right. Now they took these convertible loan notes, and as we know, discussed before, they can have downward pressure on the share price because the company, you know, converting the shares don't care about the company's share price. All they want is their 10%. So the company borrows, you know, I think they borrowed now $3 million off them. The first lot of convertible loan notes have cleared. That was $1 million. Then they went for another $2 million. And I think they got about $900,000 left. That's dollars, I think. And I think they'll clear these before their financial results come out. Or in fact, I don't know when the end of year is June. But I think they got about $900,000 left, probably less. But you'll see this rallying like crazy in My Square. Then you'll see some big sales coming in and, you know, just converting. And you realize then that, and if you look pretty much every month, they announce that more shares have been converted. And, but I think once this is cleared, it'll go crazy. And so I've used the old scaling in method. I bought at 1.5 pence and then it dipped down to 1.35 pence, which is obviously 10% down, bought some more there. And then on Friday, it went up like 20%. But the volatility is amazing. So when the company stops converting for a while, the share price rallies like crazy. Buyers come in, you know, and then all of a sudden, more shares get sold in the market from the companies. And so, but once it's cleared, watch it go crazy. But I think now, what is it? It's 3 million, 3.5, 4 million market cap. And they've got revenue come on board. I think it's good volume in this. I think, and the good thing about, you know, convertible loan notes is that the company, you know, will not go through due to lack of cash because they've got the cash, yeah. You know, straight away. That's the problem, and that's one of the things. So you can play the convertible loan note game and wait till the company's out and it'll fly. But you have to probably start getting in there before they're fully out because people start realizing, like, I've got a little spreadsheet on my convertible loan notes.
Where do you find out that information about how many convertible loan notes are left? And
they have to release that. They have to say issue of equity. Whenever a company issues equity, they have to announce it. And so the last one was done on the March the 2nd. Listen to the trend here. Previous to that, February the 1st. Yeah. When was before that? January the 3rd, issue of equity. Have you noticed the theme here? Pretty much start of each month.
Is it a month? Right.
Yeah. So check that out. So they'll say My Square, the miners announces the issue of 24,600,000 ordinary shares pursuant to the conversion of 300,000 of loan notes, and they pretty much converted at that sort of rate, $300,000 at the time. And so,
how many were originally placed or
this lot now is 2 million. So they've got about $900,000 left. So they've got about three more times now they convert. And I think the next 3 months, they've got April, May, June. June probably cleared, probably. Maybe even a little bit more if they go for it crazy. But so by June, it'll be cleared. And then if the share price, you know, is like this, it'll rally like crazy. Because there is potential there, you know. And they're monetizing a social media site in Myanmar. They are the primary, you know, the main guys out there for social media at the moment. And they've got games and all that stuff. And so I just think... And the premium that's put on... the average user, paid revenue user, is way below for Myanmar compared to, you know, any other social media company. And so, and I think, who is it? Beaufort Security have a target of 20 pence on them. Right. And they're like 1.5 pence. They are their, obviously, broker as well, so you can read it that way you want. But even if you get half of that, that's 10 pence, isn't it? So, you know, and I think this in this kind of space, digital space there, huge market opening up in Myanmar. I think, you know, a 20 million market cap is not a lot. That's five times where we are at the moment. You know, that's not a huge amount, especially when they turn over revenue, you're getting close to a million, 2 million. You know, I think it's not a big ask, is it, really?
No, quite. Right, okay. Interesting.
Anything else? I'm just looking through some stocks here today. Motive Bio is annoying. It's frustrating me a little bit. It's not good. I think we're within 4 to 6 weeks away from that Revive One data readout on Motive Bio, which is...
What does that mean?
If it's good, you're a shareholder, Steve, aren't you?
Yeah. I can tell.
Yeah, so Data 3, there's... whenever a company, you know, goes through drugs, testing, all that, there's three phases. Phase one, phase two, phase three, completion, then goes to commercialization. They're at the final phase. Now, it costs a lot of money to get, you know, people through these phases, because you're at phase three of test is safety, efficacy, you know, basically effective, is it safe? And you have to use 600 patients. Now, you have to pay for every one of these patients to come in using different geographical locations. The money you spend on this, it takes months to test them. So it's so much money you have to put down. But the return on this drug, it could be huge. You know, it's a blockbuster drug, billion-dollar company revenue here. So they have data readout. There's two, phase three is split into two trials. And they're exactly the same, Revive 1, Revive 2. But they do Revive 1. It's done by an independent company, and it's a blind test. So the people actually taking the drug don't know whether they're actually getting the drug or just, a sugar cube. What do they call it?
Placebo,
yeah. So they don't know what they're getting, you know, so they can judge the results accurately. And then the Revive 2 is exactly the same, but it's done in different locations with a different demographic, you know. So if it's, if data, this the data coming out now is the most important data, because if it reads well, you can pretty much say it's going to be replicated, you know, across Revive 2 as well, because the company that's been used to do this, very professional company, you know, well known to do it, they do this kind of stuff, this is their living. So, you know, barring some sort of erroneous, crazy sort of error somewhere, which I doubt will happen because it's done very above board, very professionally, then I think, you know, within 4 or 6 weeks, we'll know whether their drug, Ilcaprim, is going to be an next blockbuster drug. And as yet, it's sitting, you know, it's hovering around 25, 26 pence. And yet, it's peer groups, you know, in America, listed on NASDAQ, anything between 4 and 6 times the value of Motive Bio. So I think we'll know within 6 weeks, Steve, whether we have a blockbuster drug on our hands or we just call it quits and we lose our money.
Cool.
let me say,
the first show I've lost money on.
No, let me say one thing, though. Phase three trials normally regarded as 50-50, you know, the chances of success. This is different with Ilcaprim. It's gone through phase three trials before with the previous owner. And Graham Lumsden, the CEO, said to me, essentially, what happened to you? And also another investment guy from another investment house said, the reason why it failed, it progressed phase three, had decent results there, but it failed because the, the American food, FDA, man, changed the basic goalposts, and they wanted different. They decided there was a lot of stuff going around. This is when, you know, antibiotics, it was changing. They realized it's a bit worrying, the world of antibiotics now. We're going to a stage where we don't know if they'll be effective in 10 years' time, a lot of them. And that will be, you know, it's catastrophic consequences could happen if that happens. So they were messing around with the markers on what they wanted to receive, the results. And so when you go for phase three, you're very focused on what you want to achieve. Now, if someone changes that, you know, what they want to hear, the results, then you haven't set up. It's basically, how can I sort of put this into an analogy? You know, it's like Steve, it's like you, right, being told there's a fancy dress party down the road, okay, of vicars and nuns, all right? So you go dressed as a nun. At the last minute, they decide to call the fancy dress off, yeah? So you walk in there, but in fact, it's like that thing, isn't it? Only Fools and Horses, where they're dealt by the, you know, they turn up. It's at the last minute, someone dies, and they end up, there's a funeral, and everyone goes there, and they just turn up, Batman and Robin, you know? So you're way out of kilter there, you know? You know, what's going on? What's going on here? It's like that. So, you know, it's essentially that, last minute things. So they said it tested very well, and going back now, it looks at, if they applied the data to certain data sets, it would have passed anyway. So there's a lot higher chance there of this drug, Ilcaprim, passing, then, you know, and they're written, could be up to a 70% chance. So that's good odds. When you look at horse races, when that, you see that guy this week put $500,000 on a favourite at Cheltenham and lost.
Odds on favourite, wasn't it? Yeah.
Odds on favourite, yes. So what is that? 50? What's the chance of that?
So he was putting $500,000 on to win $100,000, and he lost.
Oh, yeah, 2-9, wasn't it? That's right, yeah. 92 on, or something like that. 2-9. 92? 7-1.
1-5.
2-9. Yeah. So. And he lost. Yeah, wow. And you used to sit absolutely nuts. So when you look at it, this
is that you, Steve?
Kind of thing I would do, but no, it wasn't me this time.
Okay.
If it was Steve, it'd been 50 pence. You know that. Yeah, so I think it looks good. But as yet, the share price isn't reacting. I don't know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Look at the volume in Motive Bio weeks, days beforehand. See if any little person from the I don't know. Sometimes you'll see, because you know, I think it will start reacting the sooner we get close to it, and people think that's a good chance of success. 70% chance of success. You know, what is that in horse racing terms? Peter, do the odds.
What?
If there's a 70% chance of a horse winning a race, what are the odds there?
70% chance. It depends how many horses are in the race, doesn't it?
One horse in the race.
Right, okay.
I suppose there's two horses in the race, isn't there?
Yeah, he's got 100% chance.
There's failure, and there's success. So yeah. Those are two horses.
Right. Yeah.
Steve had bet on the horse called Failure.
What isn't he 7-3? Oh, no. No, you can't. I don't think you can work it out like that. Someone write in and tell us. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Someone write in. Yeah, send a letter in. Well, by the time you get the letter, we'll have known the results from Motive Bio. Someone
send
is out there.
There's
a lot of clever people who listen to the podcast, so I don't know why they listen, just to laugh at us, I think. But if you could send me the odds of that, can you compare the results of Motive Bio to a horse race? I don't know if you can on the odds. There's got to be a way of doing it. It's probability, and you know, there's got to be a way of doing that. If there's a 70% chance of Motive Bio's drug passing this phase 3, what would be the equivalent in a horse race? I have no idea.
I don't know.
Well, listen, I think ECR, did you get any of those guys?
No.
Didn't you?
No.
Okay. Anything else? Yes, I did. Anything else?
How well are they doing?
Teapop
popped up on Thursday for a little bit, didn't it, and went back down.
Yeah, but listen, it'll blow through that. It's got to finish above 10 pence, you see, to get going. I think a nice little update, you know, recently saying 25.6% revenue increase in US. So I think, you know, it's looking good here, but I think it's struggling at that 10 pence level for some reason, and I think once it closes above that, we're going to see, and like I said last week, I think, Steve, I mentioned this, I've worked off 3.6 million revenue for 2016. So I started with, what's 12 divided by that? My monthly revenue, I started with 300,000. And I'd started off with 5% increases, then now I've done 10% increases. And I think if you do 10% increases, and even with a cash burn of 350 grand a month, you know, their PE of 10 should be around 22 million market cap. They're at 10 million market cap, or 11 million now at the moment. So if they continue to accelerate as they have, I see this as a doubling easy. Now, a little tech company like this, you could put on a higher PE, you know, 15 times that revenue. So I think, you know, it's a no-brainer, really. With the level we're at right here, it's a no-brainer. It's undervalued if they continue to. And like I said, they also, a nice encouraging thing, that they've renegotiated deals with their suppliers, that's the telephone companies, to get a more beneficial rate, so that will help the margins and bottom line. So yeah, I think I see as a good little result there for Teapop, waiting for the pop for the tea. Angus Energy, I want to talk about actually. Do you know what? Do you hold any Angus Energy?
No.
This is very interesting, you know. Because Angus Energy, they've got so whether you hold them or not, I'm going to talk about it. Hold, you know, like I said, a production license here at Brockham. They did this. It's a very odd thing. You've got the Surrey Council, right, and you've got a little camp, a Brockham camp down there, protesters, saying, save our towns. There's a Facebook group you can look up. Mm. And they do you know what? What a bunch of whinges. And have you looked at the footprint that Angus got? It's tiny. It's not even a football pitch. I'd say a quarter of a football pitch, you know? That's all they've got. And they're drilling from there, and they've got the things in there. It's tiny. You wouldn't even see it, you know, from the air, pretty much. You'd find it hard-pressed to see it. And so they had planning permission to work over a well, existing well there. And then, you know, they had permission then to do a sidetrack well. It means going down under the ground, you go from basically side off, do a sidetrack from that to explore other areas, you know. Now, that you're not going to have to, you know, build anything new on land, on the surface, to achieve that. Nothing's changed at all on the surface. So they got, planning permission from the Oil and Gas Authority, which is up and down the country. You know, anything you do with oil and gas, you have to go through them. The Health and Safety Executive, right? And the Environment Agency. So those three said, fine, sidetrack, well, fantastic, brilliant. And all of a sudden, they do it. And all of a sudden, someone from the BBC News calls up the BBC News local news saying, Angus Kennedy has done a sidetrack pal, they've done something. And they go to the Surrey Council, oh, we're very disappointed with the Surrey Council, we didn't know about this. But it's nothing to do with you, Surrey Council. They're not building an extension or anything. They're not doing anything on the top of the service. Angus Energy guys know this. They've done this before in Horse Hill. They know the regulatory environment. They know their legal rights. They're not still. Yeah. They don't need any rights.
And just as a shareholder.
Yes. No, I bought some of that dip. That a 20% dip on that news, saying that they're talking with Surrey Council now. All it is, I think, is that the Surrey Council are aggrieved that some protesters have told them some news they didn't know about. And they feel left out of the loop. Oh, hang on, we shouldn't even know about this, shouldn't we? No! They're not building anything new on the land. It's exactly the same footprint. All they're doing is when they go down, they go to the side a little bit. And that's been passed by three other, you know, executive bodies, you know, overlooking oil and gas. And I just think, who's more the expert here on oil and gas? Angus or the Surrey Council Planning Department? We've got three or four people in there. You know, Jeff and Sandra. You know, oh, all right, look, we're getting people protesting. We should be, Jeff, we should know about this. I'll get on to them now. I'll give them a call. What have you done? Nothing. We've done nothing. Done nothing out of it. So I just think, you know, that sell off we had there was, I think, a little bit of an opportunity. You know, yeah. If this plays out, Angus not stupid. They know they were. They're very professional guys. That's what, you know, the guy they pull, they know exactly what they're doing. So I just think that's a, you know, done. Opportunity to present yourself. Got little sorry protesters and Surrey Council, jobs worth. Anything else, guys? Peter, you going on a date this weekend?
No.
You going on a friend's date with your lady friend?
No.
You sure?
You're not seeing her, are you? Yeah, you are.
No, what? I'm not. I'm really not.
So, what are you doing, Pete?
I'm going down to Devon. So, my dad's 70th birthday.
Oh, you're introducing her to the parents.
Yeah, yes. opportune moment. Yes. Daddy, happy birthday. This is my new girlfriend. She's called Jeff.
Just a friend.
what's the girl's name, by the way, Pete? Who, you know, is in the frame.
I don't know which one.
Come on.
I don't really know which one you're talking about. I was on holiday with about 5-6 different people.
Well, so. The ones. And
name them all.
The ones that have got boyfriends.
Well, name all the girls there that are single. That's the word. Narrows it down. Name them.
Okay. Anna and Emily.
Emily. Emily, I see Emily.
Is she French?
You're making that up. Well, Steve, top of the class.
Is she French?
You're making all that up there, so that's good. But I'm entertained by your little mind working away and doing your research, but there we go.
Emily, oh, c'est very nice, oui, c'est bon. Is she from France, Peter?
That's it, that's what French people come from, mostly. No,
but how do you know her?
We were in France. I told you, she's a friend of Anna's. So they both came on holiday. That's it. That's end of story. There you go. You're aware of this concept. People go on holiday in groups.
Can I ask you a question, though? Yeah. Do you like Emily?
Do I like Emily? Yes, I like Emily.
Do you like her?
I would like her.
Do you like her?
Well, I'm glad it's you for a change, Pete.
I know, it's like, okay. Yes.
How much do you like Emily? Out of 10, marks out of 10, how much do you like Emily?
Oh, 11.
Do you? Oh. Now, could you see yourself potentially being boyfriend, girlfriend? Would you have any, if she said to you, Peter, would you be my boyfriend? Yeah. Peter.
Not the French accent.
Peter, would you be my boyfriend? I'd like to have a kiss in the cuddle. Cuddle. Would you like to do a French kiss with me? Peter, you cheat. Hey, Peter, give me a snuggle. Yeah, ooh. If you asked you to be a boyfriend, would you be a boyfriend?
What I love is that you've looked at a few pictures on Facebook and now you're creating this whole world, which is lovely.
He's not denying it. He's not denying it.
I'm not saying anything because whatever I say will be twisted against me, so there you go.
Oh, clever bit. Do you know what reminds me of? Do you know what the missus there, when she was in the Met Police, you know? She went in with, when she was pregnant with our second child, Monty, and she went in there and she revealed to, you know, one of her seniors, who she didn't really know that well.
She revealed herself?
You know, she revealed that she was pregnant to a senior, right. One of the senior sort of officers there, you know. And he went, oh, it's not mine, is it? That's what she said to her, right? And like, he's a very unattractive, short, dumpy man, bald head, you know, not very attractive.
Like
and,
you.
Yeah, spot on, yeah. And make him sort of a polite smile, just because he's a senior, you know. And then he walked out of the office, and a couple of seconds later, popped his head on the door and went, "She ain't denying it!" Like, what? You are a senior officer of the law, and you're suggesting you had sex with a lady who's not related to you, and yet she is carrying your baby, and now she's in, she ain't denying it, shouting it loudly across the office, you know? I don't think that's appropriate, well, really, is it?
No, probably not.
Turns out, you do just.
Yeah, turns out it was his. So, that's why she didn't deny it! Okay, that's something else about it for this weekend, weekend's podcast.
What happened to the hooter that goes off at 30 minutes?
Oh, yeah, no, I've...
Stop that, have we? Right,
okay. I forgot about that, yes. I'll tell you what, I'll upgrade my phone to get it installed with graphene, because that's the answer, and then I'll reinstall that next week. Lovely. Don't forget, guys, if you've got any problems, any queries, you know, stiff leg, graphene... if you've got a cough, graphene. Yeah, if someone's parked in, if you can't buy a car parking space at the local shopping centre, graphene's the answer, all right?
Okay, good.
Have a nice weekend.
Graphene.
Just say to people, shake hands now. If you shake hands and meet anyone new over the week, just shake hands, nod your head, got graphene. And I'll be nice. Just get the word out, graphene, yeah? Graphene! All right, lovely. Marvel. And even when your new girlfriend, Peter, just sneaking into the conversation, yeah? Graphene, okay. Oh, graphene!
You are mental. I don't wait. Why have you suddenly? Why is she my girlfriend?
Graphene. Bye bye. Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye
bye.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.